Dr. Walt Schmidt is a dear friend of mine, and I'm so thankful the Lord brought him and Miss Jackie our way some years ago. Pastor Walt had a scare not too long ago, a medical scare, but now the Lord has brought him out of that, and this past Tuesday we were able out to go visiting together, and that was truly a blessing. I'm looking forward to hearing Pastor Walt preach tonight, and Brother Walt, if you would, come preach to us. Amen.
I don't think I can get this crazy thing turned on in my pocket. Here we go. Am I on? I don't think I ever publicly thanked the church, but I know that every one of you prayed much for me, and I appreciate that so very much. And the doctor told me the last time I was in it, I'm 3 months ahead of schedule. And I preached a five-day meeting in South Carolina 2 weeks ago, and what a joy it is to be in this pulpit. Sitting there reminiscing a little bit. You know, when songs are sung, a lot of times you start reminiscing. And when we started singing Little As Much When God Is In It, it was 1969, and God had saved me and called me to preach. And I had no clue where I ought to go to Bible college, and I was praying about it. And I heard about a meeting at South Sheridan Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado, and there was a special guy going to be there, and I wanted to go hear him because I'd heard him on the radio. And he was there, and he got up, and Lester Roloff said, "Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name." And then he said something that got me going in the right direction. He got talking about his preacher boys at a place called Tennessee Temple. And so I said, "If Lester Roloff's got preacher boys there, that's where I'm going." And I got an application for Tennessee Temple and filled it out, and God called me there, and there I went and graduated. And that was a long, long time ago. But some memories are sweet to remember, aren't they? A couple years later, I was running to the dining hall at Tennessee Temple, and Lester Roloff showed up. And he come into the dining hall, and he said, "Brother Schmidt, we got work to do." He says, "I got 1,000 pounds of fresh fish that you and I got to cook for Camp Joy." And Lester Roloff and I sat in the dining hall at Tennessee Temple and cooked 1,000 pounds of trout, sea trout, for the kids at Camp Joy, and took it out there and fed all the kids at Camp Joy. I did the cooking, and he made his special vegetarian sauce. He couldn't stand it that I was deep frying his fish. But there was no other way to cook that many fish except deep fry them, and that's exactly what we did. And what a blessed, blessed time it was. Man, it's great to be here. I was telling Jeff when we were sitting up there, I've got to preach a lot in my days. I've got to preach in a lot of places in my days. And this is the only one that scares me. I preached in South Carolina last week. It didn't scare me at all. Get up and preach. Get up here and these old 75-year-old legs are going like this up here. Just worrying, you people scare me. You thought it was the pastor. No, you people scare me. Not really. I feel I'm so much among friends. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 says something that I want to speak to you tonight about. The title of my message is simply this: What's Wrong with Mankind? What is wrong with mankind? I hear it over and over again every single day. People are just talking and wondering what is going on with mankind. It says here, "This know," verse number 1, "this know, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Let's pray together. Father, Lord, as we gather around your throne today, and as we have the privilege of being in church and the joy of being able to hear your word and just talk to you and be part of your family, Lord, I just want to let you know I love you. because I know you love me. And I want to thank you for your goodness, and I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that you've shown us the way, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And none of us, no man, come to the Father but by you. Bless the preaching. Fill me with your spirit. Let these people be blessed, but not only blessed, but let them be convicted and help them in whatever they need in their spiritual life. I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about this message, I got to thinking about, as I listen to people, I listen a lot to people. Now, my wife says I would talk to a rock. But I also do listen to people at times and listen to different things people say. And everybody, I mean everybody, including all of us in this room, know exactly what's wrong with mankind. I mean, we're more than happy to say so. Everybody has got an opinion, saved or unsaved alike. In my rehabilitation, I go to the gym 5 days a week. And of course, when I'm at the gym, I hear all kinds of people talking about all kinds of things, and they all have all the answers, and everybody, and I have a real problem at the gym because I just want to jump up and say, hey, idiot, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. But that's what they'd say to me, too. And I know that, so I keep my mouth shut and just stay on the bike or do whatever I'm doing and go on. But everybody has a reason. Everybody has an answer of what's wrong with this world. We listen to so-called experts. And that's where we make our first mistake, isn't it? We listen to, did you notice what I said? We listen to the so-called experts. Have you ever wondered when somebody comes up and says, now here's an expert on this thing. Who said so? Right. Who made them an expert? Where all of a sudden did they become an expert on anything? But they say it, and people just buy into it, listen to it. Oh, the expert said it. It must be so. You know, without any idea where they got their ideas or their ideologies or anything else, but the expert must have said so. Now, we're overwhelmed with information, are we not? We are literally overwhelmed with information, but we're never given solutions. Have you ever noticed when they talk about something on the TV, they'll talk about this thing that they're going on, and here's what the final line is 100% of the time. More study and a little more money is needed to find out the answer to this problem. Isn't that what it says all the time? And we throw out the dollars and wait for the study to be done, and they come back again, more study, more things. Truth of the matter is, and the sad thing is, I'm standing here before you, some of us and all of us, in fact, all of us, have a little bit bought into some of this drivel. We've bought into some of this stuff that the world says about what's going on and what's wrong. And yet you hear older people, myself, now I'll be 76 in a few days, and we all talk about how we used to run around our neighborhoods and never lock the doors and all the different things, walk to school and said all these things. And you, folks, let me tell you something, that was the truth. That is not storytelling. I didn't walk uphill 5 miles in the snow and walk down back home uphill 5 miles in the snow. But we did walk to church, to school and went where we wanted and did what we wanted because that's the way it was. Things were safe. I remember in my neighborhood, if I did something wrong over the Steele's house, which were my neighbors, Nellie Steele was going to whip me before my mama did. And I knew that. And I knew when she said, Walt, come here, I knew I was in trouble even though. And guess what? I knew that when she told my mom she'd whip me, my mom was going to whip me. Or my dad, or whatever the case may be. That's just the way it is. But that we bought in a little bit, even though all these things that are going on. Did you listen to Wally the other night about how many sex offenders are registered in our land? I'll tell you what would happen when I was a boy. The men in the neighborhood had just whooped that sucker until he got out of town. And if he didn't get out of town, he wished he would have got out of town. And that had been the end of that right then and there. Not that way anymore. We know that. But we're looking for the answers. We're thinking about the answers. Well, does the Word of God have any answers, do you think? Do you think there's a possible chance that in this book somewhere there's some answers? Well, I got to thinking about it, and you know what I figured? I figured, yes, this book has all the answers. This book is the book of books. I recently got a book. Well, it's not been recently. It was in 2011. I got a book in Scotland, because I happened to be in Scotland at the time, about, it was the 400th anniversary of this blessed King James Bible. It was, and this man, who was a lost man, wrote a book. He got to researching what impact this book, this King James Bible, right here, what impact has it had on Western civilization in the last 400 years? It's a book that long. You cannot imagine in every part of American English and English-speaking life in, for the last 400 years, no book has influenced like this book has. This book has changed history. This is God's Word. This is God's Word cover to cover from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It's true. It's right. And guess what? He had a The Lord sat down one day or with a fellow by the name of John. And he says, we're going to write a book. The Holy Spirit of God is going to lead you. You're going to use your words. And I found all the answers right in the Gospel of John. All the answers that I need for what's wrong with this world. And I want you to get your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the Gospel of John with me right now. I want you to go to chapter number 1. I found just four things. Man, I hate doing that. Normally what I do, I don't lie, but I do stretch the truth a bit. I found out something about preachers. You know, I have been preaching for this month I started my 50th year of preaching. And one thing I found out, if a preacher gets up and says, I got a four-point message, all you're waiting is for the first three to get over because hallelujah is on number four. I know that because I'm a person. And so I'll get up and say, I got a 14-point outline when I only have three. And that way, when I get to number three and quit, you're all happy. Works every time. So I got a 4-point, but you don't have a clue. I might have. I heard that, Martha. I heard that. Look at verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light. Now listen to this verse. Listen to this verse. That was the true light that lighteth what? Every man that cometh into the world. People say, well, that poor heathen out in Africa never heard it. Yes, the light shined. The Bible says the light has shined on every man. Not just some man, not just one man, not just special men, not just the elect. No, it's shined on every man. But here's the problem. Do you notice what verse number 5 says? And light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The trouble with mankind today is mankind is in mental darkness. They are totally in mental darkness. The light shineth, but they comprehend it not. The light shining, but men can't see it. I thought about doing something tonight, but I'm not going to do it because I didn't get with the ushers. But at the end of my message tonight, here's what I was going to do. I was going to have them turn every light off in here. And while you're sitting there in the dark, I'm going to say, read your Bible. And you know what would have happened? This is why I didn't turn it off. The crazy cell phones would come out and the little flashlights would come on. I realize that's probably what happened, so I'm not doing it. You know, you got to get up this morning. But guess what? Listen to me carefully. For you to read in the dark, you had to turn on the light. You can't see anything in darkness. What does this verse say? The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Man is in mental darkness. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Men are in mental darkness. Here's the key. It's not my fault. My parents didn't raise me right. It's not my fault. The policeman was wrong. It's not my fault. The judge didn't understand. The jury didn't understand. It's not my fault. Isn't that how the world is now? It's never my fault. Every time I listen to some parolee that gets out and kills somebody, and you think, what is wrong with mankind? I'll tell you what's wrong. They're in mental darkness. They have no understanding of the things that are true and are real. They have no understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Men live in absolute darkness. The Bible says this in Romans 12 to the believer. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then what does it say? And be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by, by the renewing of what? Your mind. You see, your mind has to be changed. Do you remember way back when you first heard the gospel? I remember the first time I went to hear the gospel. I had no idea. I was in total mental darkness. I had no idea. I had to open up my mind first to understand the gospel. You got to understand where it comes. What does it say in Philippians? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. What's wrong with mankind? He's in mental darkness. Jeff, you spend your entire ministry basically going knocking on doors and visiting with people. And you see this all the time. People are totally in the dark. They have no idea. Their minds are blinded to the truth of God's word. They do not want to hear the truth of God's word at all. Men's minds are blinded. We have got to understand the problem with this world is men are in mental darkness. Oh, we've got all the big schools. We've got all the education. We've got all the understanding, but we've missed the simple things. Remember what the book of Romans says in chapter 16? Be wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. We've gone the other way around. We've made everything in our minds to be the fault of somebody else. Now, the world is using us as their kicking board right now, are they not? It's the Christian's fault. It's our fault. We have all these crazy ideas. Mental darkness. How about your mind? What have you been thinking on? I just read in Philippians what God says you ought to do. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Does it just happen? Is it just something? No, you know, how many of you have gone to school at least one day in your life? I'm not going to get smart and say 12 or 4, just at least one day in your life. Listen, what were they trying to do to open up your minds, to get it to start thinking, to get it toward something? I used to do this. We had a Christian school in my second church, and one of my favorite things was going to kindergarten class. I was the head of the school. I'd go where I wanted. I'd go in there with those kids, and they're just so much fun. I'd go in there with them, and I'd say, let's do some math today. I'll tell you, kids, let's start off with algebra. They'd look at me like that. What are you talking about? They didn't start with algebra, did they? 1 + 1 = 2. That's where they started. That's where you biblically have to start. You have to let your mind be molded by God. Now, the Bible says, let this mind be in you. Guess what? Guess whose job it is? It's not God's job. God gave you the book. God gave you the ability. But it's our job to get out of being blinded in our minds. And we got to understand that's why we go to sowing. That's why you open a door to open up the mind. You take the word of God and let it begin to work in their heart and minds, because the word of God is a two-edged sword. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God can begin to work in hearts and lives. Raise your hand if it worked in your life. Of course it did. But you had to start thinking on it. I got to thinking about this about preaching. Every once in a while I forget to write down where I preach something. And this happens to me every time. And my wife says, Walt, Walt, Walt. She says that a lot. And I forget to write it down, and so I'm studying for preaching here, and I get to thinking, I bet I preached it there already. And I think, and it bothers me all week long, I bet I preached this thing already. Why didn't I write it down? Normally I do, but every once in a while I miss one. But it doesn't matter because I probably wrote Madison down there, but it was Madison, Wisconsin. And I still get myself messed up and worry about, do you do that, Brother Nelson? You worry, hey, I've preached this before. And then the thought struck me, duh, most of them wouldn't remember if you did anyway. Right? Hey, that is the exact truth. because our minds, we have to let things happen to our minds. And every once in a while, something sticks with us and we never forget it. For example, that thing with little as much when God is in it. I remembered that from way back in 1969. But there's things that last week, I have no clue. Last week, yesterday, how about last hour? Things that we forgot about. Quit grinning, Greg. You know, I'm having fun up here. I haven't got to preach for so long. It just feels so good. But when you first start preaching, think about this, preachers. Those are preachers out there. Is Brother Lamb over there anywhere? It works out this way. When you first start preaching, see that South America sign back there? That's what you look at when you first start preaching. And you never look at the people one time. And then after you preach for a while, you watch the people. And folks, you better listen to me. Because I'll be around there once in a while. I wish I wasn't watching because somebody's... Or so, you know, yeah. And even we're... You know? So, you know, you better be careful what you do. You know, because it's amazing what you can see when you're a little higher. It's amazing what you can see. But the thing of it is, get your mind on the Lord. Get your mind thinking, because this world is in mental darkness. Turn over to John chapter 3. Wonderful John chapter 3. Look at verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. Not only is man in mental darkness, mankind is in moral darkness. Mankind is totally in moral darkness. Look what it says. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Do we live in a morally corrupt world? I was sitting in the doctor's office this week. I wish I could go to church as much as I seem to go to the doctor anymore. But it seems like every time I turn around, I'm at some doctor's office for some crazy thing. And they have these screens anymore when you're waiting, because guess what? You are going to wait. If you go to a doctor's office, you are going to wait. Now, they make you feel good. They move you from room to room every once in a while. But you still sit there and just wait for the doctor to finally show up. And then somebody shows up and says, oh, I'm not the one. The doctor's still got to come this way. You think you're done, and you're not done. But anyway, they had this one on here, and it was talking about sexually transmitted diseases. And it started, it's just talking about you need to, it's a terrible thing. And, it gets part. And when you're partners of the same sex, you have to be, you better be careful too. Now, you know, a few years ago, that would never show up in any place like that. And there it was, right there, just for anybody to see without even thinking about it right now. We have become completely morally corrupt. And if we're not careful, Christians, it's going to rub off on us. Because it's bombarded on us from 1,000 different ways every single day, in ways that we don't even think of or know of the difference of the things. See, men live in darkness and they love it. They love it. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And what? Their foolish heart was darkened. The wickedness of moral things. Our pastor sits up, and you can just see the compassion in his face and his heart as he tries to talk to the young people. And tries to somehow get across to the young people that you have to guard your life so carefully. And you just wonder, are you listening? Are you understanding? It's something that your parents are not going to be able to watch every second of your life. Somewhere along a line in your life, you've just got to get a hold of the fact that this is what I'm going to do. I have a daughter. She's getting older now. My oldest child will be 50 this year. Woo! But anyway, my second daughter, she came to me when she was about 14. I gave an invitation. She came forward, and she came forward in the church, and I looked at her and I thought, what in the world's going on there? She said, Daddy, she says, God's going to call me to be a missionary. God's called me to be a missionary. I'm going to marry a missionary, and I'm going on a mission field. She's been on a mission field since 1998. Amen. But she also told me, she said, Daddy, I'm going to keep myself pure. She says, I'm going to keep myself pure. When I marry that missionary, I'm going to be pure. She told me, she told her mother that. And she did exactly that. Oh, kids, get a hold of it. Just make up your mind. You've got to make it, keep yourself pure. We live in a wicked world that says it's okay. It's not okay. We are going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to stand before him who loved us and gave himself for us. We're going to see him face to face, and we're going to have to look at him and answer for every evil thing we did in this. The Bible says it's very clear we're going to have to do it. Oh, I'm not going to hell. I know that. But I'm going to stand before him for the person I didn't speak to, for the person, for the book that I looked at wrong, for the thought that I had in my heart that I didn't get out and didn't repent of and just kept it there and looked at it. Keep right with God. This world is morally corrupt. This world is going worse every single solitary day. That's what's wrong with this world. It's mentally in darkness. It's morally in darkness. The Bible says this in Romans 3, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. This world is under moral darkness. Jesus said this to his people. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Kids, adults, hey, by the way, I'm 75 years old and I'm not immune. I'm sorry, it's a battle we fight every day of our entire life to keep ourselves right before God. It's something that we have to get up in the morning and talk to God about and stay that way. Here's how I do it. I don't know how you do it. We could do it 1,000 different ways. But I believe Jesus is coming again. And I believe it could be tonight. I could believe it's while I'm preaching. I don't care when it is. I want to be right when it comes. And the only way to do that is to practice it. And to do it. And to stay at it. Because he hasn't told me exactly when he's coming. He just told me he's coming. And by the way, that's good enough. If he said it, it's going to happen. I just don't know when. But I want to be right when it does. This world is morally, morally wrong. Now, turn with me to John chapter 12. I got something on you tonight, Jeff. I'm so glad I got to preach on Sunday night. See, I know how long my pastor preaches on Sunday night. And I got lots of time left. When you preach on Sunday morning, you got to watch that clock. Sunday nights, you got a little bit of leeway, you know. And if you turned off your cell phones and don't wear watches anymore, you don't know what time it is. But mankind has a problem that goes much deeper even than just the mental darkness and the moral darkness. In John chapter 12 and verse 35, look with me very carefully. I want you to get a hold of something here. It took me a while to catch this, and when I did, it changed a lot of things in my life. And then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed. And look at this verse very carefully. Departed and did hide himself from them. Jesus says, I'm going to be with you for a little while. But you better be ready because I could depart. If you'll read the Gospel of John from this verse on to the very end of the Gospel of John, Jesus goes to nobody but his disciples. He doesn't do another miracle in John. He doesn't go out with anybody. It's just there. He is just, he draws, drew the line. Mankind is in judicial darkness. Mankind is under the judging hand of Almighty God. Mankind is waiting. Hey, what are we studying in Sunday school? Have you read it lately? Have you looked at the book of the Revelation? Did you see what's going to happen to mankind? Do you see where mankind is headed and what the end is? Do you understand that there's a judicial judgment from Almighty God? He says you're not always going to have the light. God can hide himself. Look what it says in verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Now, I believe anybody can get saved at any time. But if they close their mind and stay in mental darkness, if they close their heart and stay in moral darkness, they are in danger of judicial darkness where God will not hear. My Bible tells me in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. We are in danger. Christian, you could be sitting here and looking so good, dressed exactly right, walking the exact way, never reading your Bible, never studying your Bible, never looking at things of God. Turn your mind off from God, turn your heart off from God, and God is looking at you and saying, I can't even work with you anymore. The lost person, if you're lost, you're sitting here, and you don't know the Bible very clearly. You don't know how long God is going to strive with you, because the Bible clearly says there are times when God quits striving with man. Right. Now, man could call, if man called back on him, God would answer to him, but there's times that he hid himself from them. Man is in judicial darkness. The Apostle Paul, you know his story. He starts off, what kind of person? He's in mental darkness, is he not? Is he in moral darkness? Yes, he is. He's killing Christians. He's doing everything wrong. He's on his way to Damascus. He's in total darkness. And how does God work with him? Light. Right? He saw a light that blinded him from heaven. And he sees that light, and in chapter 26, he's standing before Festus and Agrippa, and he's telling them the story. And by the way, I say this every time I preach, because I should be sick and tired, but I don't like to hear Christians say, I can't witness to people. I don't know what to say. Tell them how you got saved. That's all Paul did. I mean, he just reached out and told Agrippa, standing before a king, he says, this is what happened to me. I'm walking down the road to Damascus. The light came. And I met Jesus Christ straight to face to face. In Acts chapter 26, when he's talking to him, he says something really, really interesting. In verse 18, just turn over with me to Acts chapter 26. I don't want to miss quoting this. I don't have 3,000. If I had 1,000, I'd be a happy, happy man. Interesting thing happened to Paul here. And Christians, get a hold of this if you can. Acts chapter 26. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. The next thing he says to Paul, get up. Look what he says, but rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both the things which thou hast seen and those things which in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And look what it says to do. To open their eyes and to turn them from what? Darkness to what? Light. And from the power of Satan. And in the next verse, he simply says this, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. First thing he told him, get on your feet, go to work. Get on your feet, start telling people. Stand up and do something. This world is in judicial darkness. This world is under the condemnation of God. Look at verse 37. Go back with me, excuse me. Go back to John chapter 12. I want you to see something here. I'm getting close. Remember I said I had a four-point message. And I'm on point number 3, so I must be getting close. Look at verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, they believed not on him. Would not when they had the chance. They wouldn't believe. Look what it says. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They would not. Then look what it says in verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Wherefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, they would not, then they could not. Look at verse number 40. And he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not. Look how it goes here when you turn God off. Okay, you're here tonight and you're lost and you're on your way to hell. You know you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know if you died right now, you'd split hell wide open and you'd spend eternity apart from God in a place called hell. You know that in your heart. And but when you listen to me and you hear me tonight, you still don't do anything about it. The Bible says here, when they had a chance, they would not, and then they could not, and then they should not. Wow. You better do something now. When God works in your heart, listen to him. When God says something to him, he means it. When God touches that heartstring, listen to it. No matter if you're a Christian or if you're an unbeliever, when God works in your heart, because there's one more thing. Look at verse 46. I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Now, I said this to you tonight. Mental darkness. That's the problem with the world. Moral darkness. That's the problem. Judicial darkness. That's scary. Now there's a place called eternal darkness. That's the end. It says they abide in darkness. There comes a time. I believe that's hell. I believe that's a place the Bible speaks about darkness and gnashing of teeth, does it not? Jesus often spoke about the fact of this place of eternal punishment where there's nothing but eternal darkness. Like I said, I wish I had just had the ushers turn off all the lights in here. You know, darkness is not a neat thing when it's totally, completely dark, when you can't see anything at all, when you can't see anything around you. When I was in the Navy, Jeff spent some time in the Navy. I spent 8 years in the Navy. And I remember being at sea when we'd have what they call darkened ship. And they'd turn off all the lights in the ship. All they had was some little red lights that didn't shine very far. This was back before the radars were so good and everything. We could hide a little bit better back in the, you know, it was just after the Ark. You know, back in those days. You know, it's not the Navy that you were in. The Navy I was in. You know. Well, that's what the kids say. I mean, one kid asked me one day, do you know Noah? I mean, they literally asked me that. Mr. Schmidt, do you know Noah? But the truth of the matter is, we used to get out there and you could go out and you couldn't see your hand right there. You could look as hard as you want and you could not see your hand right there. Darkness. Folks, that's what hell's like. You're not... Don't these guys tell I'm going to party with my buddies in hell. They're not going to see their buddies in hell. They're not going to see anybody in hell. They're going to sit there in eternal darkness and eternal punishment and eternal pain, eternal fire, eternal... But I don't think that's the tough part. An eternal thought pattern in their mind. I was spiritually dead in my mind. I was morally wrong, I was judicially wrong, and now I'm eternally wrong. And I'll tell you what, everybody in hell knows that Jesus died for them. They know that they could have gotten saved, and they're going to spend eternity that way, wishing that they'd have made that step of just simply trusting Christ as their personal Savior. And passing from death unto life, because there is an eternal darkness. A darkness that'll never go away. A darkness that can never be pierced. A darkness that can never change. You know, darkness is a scary thing. I told this story, I got to tell it again. My wife knew I was going to tell it. You ought to see the grin on her face. We're cruising out in the Mediterranean on the USS Mississinawa. I spent a year on the USS Mississinawa. Also spent a year on the USS Truckee and a year on the USS Neosho. But we're on the Mississinawa, and Radio Shack, I was a radioman, Radio Shack was on the O2 level, two levels above the waterline, and our bunks were on the second deck, which is two below, or the other way around, one way or the other. It's been so many years ago, I can't remember. I think it goes O2 up that way, and down it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. Anyway, it was four decks down there. Well, to get there, you had to go outside, and you had to go down a ladder. There are no stairs in the Navy. They're all ladders. You had to go down a ladder, go down another ladder, go outside, go into the bunk room. Sometimes it'd be raining, be nasty, or we'd be in rough seas where the water was actually coming over and washing across. Well, there was another way. If you went this way, down through that way on the O2 level was the admiral's quarters. We had an admiral. Because I was on Service Squadron 6. We could sneak past the admirals. And then right after it was officer country, where all the other officers had their, you know, they had nice places. We slept on bunks. They had nice little staterooms. So we'd sneak past there real quiet. We'd get all the way down, get the end. We'd go down another set of stairs, go in, and we didn't have to get wet. But you had to be real quiet. Well, we went one night, and there was a young man going the same time I was. His name was Peter Giannakopoulos. Never forgot his name. A Yankee from New York City, Greek. You probably figured that, Giannakopoulos. Well, he was a little bit behind me. Well, it's totally dark. But I'm walking down there, and I get to this ladder, and I go down to the ladder, and I get to thinking, I'm going to scare him. So I went back, got underneath the ladder, and I got down. And when he came down the ladder, I just reached out and grabbed his leg. Just grabbed his leg. Ah! He screamed like a woman. I mean, it was right there in officer's country. I mean, all the lights of the officer. I just ran, got in my bunk. To this day, 50 years later, he doesn't know who did that. Because I never did tell him. Darkness. Darkness. When you're in total darkness, and all of a sudden someone reaches out and grabs your leg, you're going to scream too. But let me tell you, the Bible says the screaming never ends in hell. The screaming never quits in hell. And it's not just a scream of fear. It is a scream of pain, a scream of agony. Because you see, this world's in mental darkness. This world's in moral darkness. This world is under judicial darkness. And this world is in danger of eternal darkness if we don't tell them. You see, we have the truth. He talked all about the light, but he never says, I am darkness, does he? He says, I am light. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, come to the light. The light will make you free, over and over again. If you're not saved here tonight, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, if you have the slightest doubt about it, in just a second, we're going to have two preachers down here. Please come talk to us. Let us help you through the Word of God to show you you can know. I believe with all my heart and soul you can be eternally secure knowing where you're going and believe it without any problem and go to sleep every night knowing that if you die, you're going to wake up in heaven. There's no problem with that. The day that doctor looked at me on the third day of April this year and looked me in the eye and said, Brother Schmidt. He says, Mr. Schmidt, you're dying. The first thought that came across me is, I'm going to see Jesus. It did. It came to me. I'm going to see Jesus. It didn't scare me at all. But then this fear came across when I thought, the love of my life I'm going to leave behind. That's what bothered me. It wasn't the fact of going to heaven. I wasn't worried about going to hell. I knew that if I died that night, I was going to be with Jesus. I was going to be eternally secure and safe. How about you? Do you know that? Do you understand that? Do you understand what's wrong with this world? It's in mental darkness. It's in moral darkness. It's in judicial darkness. It's in danger of eternal darkness. And we have the answer. Let's give it. If God's dealt with your heart, if God knows that there's somebody you ought to see, this week we did this. Wally, you made me go visit on Thursday. My wife, there was somebody she hadn't visited. She says, and we went out to visit him on Thursday because we weren't going to let that thing pass. If God's got somebody on your heart you know you ought to see, if God's got somebody on your heart that you know you ought to give the gospel to, do it. Just simply do it. You'll never regret it. This world's dying. We've got the answer. Let's do it. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father God, you've got the answers. They're clear. They're not hard to understand. But they must be believed. Lord, if there's one person here tonight that's not sure of their salvation, bring them forward, Lord. Let them just come talk to us. We're not villains. We're not going to hurt them in any way. We're just going to tell them about Jesus. And Lord, if there's Christians here that know that they ought to be doing something for you and they've quit, just like Jeff said this morning, oh Lord, let them just get their hearts going for you again. Bless the invitation. Have your will and way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.